Well, I want to lay foundation for just a series of messages that the Lord has put on my heart. I'm calling it a series, but I struggle with what to call the series, right? I know what the messages are, but I'm struggling with what to call the series. And, you know, I don't want you to lose sight of what the Lord has been saying to us as it relates to unity and faith, and how God has been speaking to us so profoundly out of the Word of God concerning unity and faith, and then how faith helps us to achieve the unity that God has called us to achieve as the body of Christ and as a local fellowship. Amen.
Amen.
So I got a little bit of a ring. You hear that? See if you can fix that for me. Thank you. So I want you to bear with me as I try to take us in a slightly different direction. But I don't want us, you know, again, you'll be years walking out the word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But how many of you know the word is not simply to be heard, but the word is to be walked out?
Amen.
The Bible says that if we hear only, we deceive ourselves. Amen. But we also have to endeavor to be doers of the word, and the Spirit of God will help you be a doer, won't he?
Yes.
He'll help you. He'll help you be a doer. So don't forget those words. I'll probably reference them, you know, even in this series, just dealing with the issue of faith and dealing with the issue of unity, because God's finger is on it. Amen.
Yes.
I was listening to a message by Dr. Jackie McCullough last night. Old message. I was there. It was in West Virginia. It was years ago. It was in the middle 90s. And I was probably a teenager then. And it was called The Then Blessing. I would encourage you to get out on YouTube and find that message, because I'm laying there listening to it. And I cut it on so my wife could hear it. And the next thing I know, tears are running down my face, because she began to talk about unity in the vein that we've been talking about it in. And she began to take literally 8,000 people in a unified praise and worship, and talked about the blessing that God commands, that when we worship together,
yeah,
right? And it just blessed me, and just some other things that she said just blessed me, and I just became just overwhelmed. And I, first I thought I was just, maybe it was allergies, and I was, so I closed my eyes. Then I opened my eyes and it was worse. You know, and I closed them again, and then now stuff is running, and I'm like, I'm crying. What is going on? Like it just crept up on me, you know, because I'm not huge on crying myself. You know, some people are, and they have a crying ministry. You know, I don't have a crying ministry. You know, so when I cry, it's a special anointing that comes for me to do that. But it just blessed me to hear the word confirmed, and even hear some things spoken to that I personally needed to hear. Amen. How many of you know that even when you minister the word, sometimes you need to receive from the word also?
Amen.
Amen. Don't ever forget that the people that preach to you are human.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. My last name is not Ghost. My last name is Branham. Okay, Holy Ghost, he, that's him, right? He don't need the message. He don't need no word. He don't need no encouragement. My last name is not Ghost or Christ. Amen. So I need encouragement too. Amen. And I need a word every now and then too. And God gave me what you need, but God gave you what I need. Come on. And that's how the body supports itself. That's how it builds up itself. When everybody understands that God has given each part of the body something to contribute to the body, then we don't put all that work and all that weight on one or two or three or a few people. Amen. We all know that we have something to contribute. The devil is a lie that I am not ranked, or I'm ranked in a way that you cannot minister to me, right? You know, that's old school. Don't you go up, you know, and in some churches, you better not go lay hands on the pastor or pray for the pastor or try to get the pastor work in some places, right? That's a no-no, but not here. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If the Lord tells you to pray for me, you better obey God. I'm going to be receptive to what God is saying. Now, if it was pizza that told you to lay hands on me, you know, I would dare to say that if pizza told you to lay hands on anybody, you might want to give them that look like, I don't know. You might want to go back and check with the pizza box. Make sure that's what you were supposed to say. But we got to learn how to encourage one another and how to build one another up. And that's part of unity, right? Understanding that we all have a responsibility to the health of the whole body, right? And not just the health of our four and no more, or just the health of our row, or just the health of our best friends and good friends within the church, that we're responsible for everybody getting to the finish line. Come on, just look at somebody, encourage them, tell them, I want to see you get to the finish line. Yeah, yeah. I want to see you make it. I want to see you make it. Hallelujah. So, I'll probably reference some things that we've already talked about, but I want you to. I'm gonna give you the theme that I was thinking about, right? And I'm gonna give you the theme that I kind of sort of landed on for the series, and then I'm gonna let you pick, right?
Okay.
Which one you like, and whichever one you like, that's what you can put in your notes and call this series. Is that okay? No, I'm serious. Like, whatever it speaks to you, right? So the theme I was thinking about giving this series of messages was a study of silence, or quietness, I'm sorry, a study in quietness, a study in quietness. Okay, that's the first one. And then I was like, well, maybe... You know, I'm a stickler for words, and, you know, I was doing some word study and, you know, kind of where I'm going in the series, you know, you can find some biblical precedents for that word being used in that context. But, you know, just wasn't enough for me. Right. So I thought I might call it the inner posture of a controlled tongue. The inner posture of a controlled tongue. Now, whatever you call it, it doesn't matter. I already know what I'm preaching out of what messages I'm preaching, but you can just, and you might change it. You might change it as we go through. Let me give you a passage of scripture for your consideration. And we'll use this as a thematic grounding for the series, right? And I'll probably reference it and talk about it throughout the series. Psalms 141 and verse 3. Psalm 141 and verse 3. ESV says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Wow. Wow. So if you need a topic for today's message, here it is. Are you ready? Okay. It's real easy to spell. Shh. That's the topic. Shh. Amen. So that's S and a lot of H's. For those of you that don't know how to spell that. All right. That's shh. That's our topic today. Can we pray?
Yes.
Lord, bless your word. Bless us to give it. Bless your people to receive it. Let us drink from the depths of the wells of your wisdom, your revelation, your insight. do something down on the inside of us that helps us, Father God, to understand the power that resides between our chin and our nose. It's our mouth. And help us, oh God, to align our mouth with your word, your will, your purpose, and your plan for our lives. Give us a mouth that blesses and doesn't curse. Give us a mouth that builds and doesn't tear down. Give us a mouth that causes what is going on in heaven to be manifested in the earth. Give us a mouth that doesn't represent our feelings, our opinions, our emotions, but give us a mouth that represents your kingdom. And Father God, if you help us, we promise we'll use it the way you want us to. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. I could sit down. I feel like I preached a message right then. Yeah, that's about the size of it, right? So if you're taking notes, we're going to also look at James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to get there in just a little bit. We'll probably touch Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. And we'll probably touch Proverbs 17, 27 and 28. So that's going to be all of our referencing and reading for you to be able to go back and look at and consider after the message today. The songwriter says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." I think one of the things that we underestimate in the body of Christ is we underestimate the power of what we say. Now, we've been talking about unity and we've been talking about faith. And unity and faith, though it is an inner posture, it also has a language associated with it. You cannot believe God internally and speak doubt externally. You cannot believe God internally and speak doubt externally. That is, there is a breakdown and there is a contradiction between your what you say is going on the inside and what is coming out of your mouth. People don't understand that they really tell a lot about themselves unknowingly. Right? Because your mouth does not have a mind of its own. The Bible says that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And even when it is your desire to conceal what's going on in your heart, the mouth has a way of letting slip what you're trying to hide. The reality is, some of us have a chronic problem of talking too much. It's a chronic problem. Have you ever met a person that you could not have a conversation with them because they couldn't be quiet long enough for you to have it? And you're like, eh, and they're like, and they just take it. And you're like, but, and they take it again. And you're like, I agree, and they take it again. And you don't even want to talk to that person no more because they just run like a river. Just let it go, 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 let it go. And over this series, I'm going to deal with some reasons as to why that is, why there sometimes is difficult for us just to shh and be quiet. But I want you to understand something, that your mouth is a powerful thing and it has purpose. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God showed us from the very beginning the powerful capacity of this thing that we call a mouth. This little member of the body that has great potential and great power. Now, if you believe that we are made in the image and likeness of God, according to Genesis 1, 26 and 27, then you have to agree that he gave us a similar ability to create, to bless, to build, to establish, or to curse, to tear down, to demean, to destroy with our mouths. Now, some of us grew up in certain communities and cultures where it was necessary to be a good talker. It's like playing the dozens. If you lived in a community where they played the dozens, meaning like it was like cracking on each other and talking about your mama and you know, you either learn how to rise to the occasion or you get destroyed. Yeah. And so many of us learn how to have a sharp tongue. We learn how to be quick-witted. We learn how to cut you, and I never pulled my blade. I mean, cut you deep. Cut you so bad and so sharp that it didn't hit you till you got home what I said. You're at home like, what? They didn't cut. What? Come on, somebody. You know that's when somebody good, when your mind can't even process the weight of what was said till later. Like, that's when you've been cut deep. But many of us have brought this mindset into the kingdom of God. We are now no longer on the playground, defending ourselves, trying to one up people. We're no longer in the schoolyard. We're no longer in those situations. We are now saved. We are now filled with the Spirit. We are now citizens of the kingdom, but our mouth don't know it. Our mouth has not caught up with our regeneration. Our mouth has not caught up with our change of address and location. Proverbs 17, 27 and 28 says, a truly wise person uses few words. Now, you know, Proverb is a wisdom book. It's wisdom writing. So you can go, if you don't have wisdom, the Bible says in James, if a man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who give him not. And I'm going to add to that. If a man lack wisdom, read the Proverbs, because the Proverbs are full of wisdom statements that will really help you employ the knowledge and wisdom of God in your everyday life. It says a truly wise person uses few words. But many of us believe that wisdom is always talking. Jesus. Truly wise people are not always flapping at the gums. Truly wise people don't always have an answer or even feel inclined to always give a response. It says a person with understanding is even-tempered. They are not, when you have understanding, understanding again is likened to wisdom. It's not knowledge, because you can have knowledge and not have understanding. You can know the what's and not know the why's and the how's. That is what understanding really is. It's not just facts, dates, times, places, people, historical events, but it is the ability to understand the why's, the underpinning reasoning behind things that have happened. And a person who truly has understanding in life tends to be an even-tempered person. But people without understanding tend to be unstable, hot-headed even. Verse 28 says, even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. Some of us don't know and don't realize we don't know, and we continually open our mouths and confirm we don't know. Now, this is a tough message because, again, it goes against the grain of everything we've been taught. You've heard me talk about Romans, how it says that we're no longer to be conformed to the pattern of this world. We all have been conformed to the pattern of this world. We all were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We have all been taught a pattern of life that does not necessarily line up with the pattern of life that the Word of God prescribes. So when you come into the kingdom of God, we all have to go through the process of renewing of the mind so that the conformity of the patterns of the world, the way the world thinks, the way the world moves, the way the world handles business has to be broken in us. It has to be broken in us so that we can take on a new mind and hence a new matter of living. A new way of living is born out of new thinking. So I'm not here to tell you that this means that I or anybody in this room has arrived to this place where we have mastered this area. But I'm here to tell you this is an area that God wants us to focus on, because a bunch of people trying to move together in community and don't have control of their mouth, it is an enemy to unity. And it's an enemy to faith. Come on, somebody. The world might say it like this: loose lips. Y'all already know. But what we don't know is when we're the one with the loose lips. My God. Proverbs 18:20-21 says, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is satisfied. He is filled with the product of his lips. Jesus. From the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is satisfied. He is filled with the product of his lips. Now, on the one hand, it sounds like they're talking about food, right? And there's a dimension of truth to that. How many of you know you don't eat through your ear? If you do, I want to see it. Can I see it? That would be... I don't want to see that. Not for real. You don't eat through your eye. Come on, somebody. You don't eat through your hands. You eat with your mouth. So it's through the fruit of his mouth that his stomach is satisfied and he is filled with the product of his lips. But here's the principle. Verse 21. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Mm. Those who love it will eat its fruit. This mouth, this tongue is a powerful thing. I would suggest to you that wherever your life is right now is not only a product of your decision, but it's a product of your words. If you say, "I can't," you won't. If you say, "I can't change," then you nullify the power of God in your life and you set into motion creative power that opposes the word of God. This is why you got to be careful. Many of us make vows with our mouth. And we say things like, "Baby, I can't live without you." Now I know that seems harmless and romantic, and every person wants to hear, "Baby, I can't live without you." But what kind of declaration is that, really? The devil says, "Really, you can't." Now let me mess with your little relationship, because your life is tied up in it. I'm on somebody. I'm trying to tell you about the power. And little do you know, you're making a vow. And really, when you talk about relationships, you shouldn't be making no vows until you get married at the altar. That's where vows are made. Because to make a vow before then is to make an illegal soul tie. You see what I'm saying? And we say, "Oh, we just reckless. We're reckless." This is what I just want you to just that, like, don't look around. Don't say, "I wish somebody was here to hear this." No, I want you to think about your life. Think about your conversation. Think about the things you talk to people about. Think about the things that you let come out of your mouth. Think about how you respond to circumstances and situations and ask yourself, "Am I speaking life or am I speaking death? Am I releasing the will of God or am I releasing my will? Or am I releasing the will of the enemy in my life? Am I dealing with the repercussions of a double tongue?" The mouth is powerful. And some of us, not only have we made vows, we have cursed things. Some of us have cursed our own money. Some of us have cursed our own success. Some of us have cursed our marriages. Oh, God. See, the reality is we all have emotions. Okay? You can think I'm a robot all you want. Trust me, I'm not. I'm not a robot. I know some of y'all think I'm a robot. He don't cry. Don't worry. I cry at home sometimes. I get upset. I feel emotion. I feel, you know, there's a difference between how one expresses emotion and whether or not they have it. And you can't determine that a person doesn't have emotion because they don't express it. All of us have emotions. Can we agree to that? Okay. But the Bible does not teach us to be led by our emotions. How many of you know that David felt a little emotion when he looked over and saw Bathsheba taking a bath? There was a little emotion going on there, like, Looky there. He felt a little emotion. The issue wasn't David feeling the emotion. The issue was how David responded to it. So the reality is, Sometimes we get frustrated. Sometimes we get frustrated. But you can't allow your frustration to dictate what you say. Because you can do more damage in a moment of frustration, and you can undo what you spent a lifetime building. Jesus. One moment of frustration can tear your whole relationship apart. It can tear up a friendship. It can rip a church in half. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. One moment of frustration where I decide to take the guard off my mouth. Because I feel like it. See, God is trying to help us and show us how to live a life that is continually producing good fruit and continually producing blessing, and not only blessing our lives, but blessing other people's lives. The mouth is not a little thing to deal with. It's not a small thing. The mouth can do damage. Look at y'all president. I know he ain't y'all. I know y'all. He ain't my president. No, he all our president, whether you like it or not. Look at the president. Everybody's mad at him. Why? Because he can't control his mouth. But the reality is, you don't know what was in Barack's heart. The only difference is he seemed wise because he shut up. God help me. He seemed more intelligent because he didn't let you know what he was really thinking. Come on, somebody. You see what I'm saying? If he was a fool, he wasn't going to prove it. And God is trying to do something in his church to grow us up to understand that he wants full control of this thing. Does God have full control of your mouth today? Or is your mouth full of bitterness? Does God have full control of your mouth today? Or is your mouth full of anger? Does God have full control of your mouth today, or is your mouth full of criticism? Come on, come on. Does God have full control of your mouth today, or is your mouth full of self-righteousness? Does God have full control of your mouth today, or is your mouth full of rebellion? I just want you to just remind somebody of my title, touch them real quick and say, shh. Pain is almost over. I'm heading to James. It's almost over. This just message one. It's almost over. It's almost over. Come on, just lift your hand and say, God, guard my tongue. Set a guard over my mouth. Come on. Tell him, keep watch over the door of my lips. Check me when my mouth is out of control. Don't let me cause damage I can't repair. Some of us are living it down right now. They're living it down right now because there are things that we have said in moments of anger or moments of emotion, and we've hurt people and we love those people, but they can't even receive from us anymore because we didn't have control over our tongue. And we might have damaged a relationship that was supposed to bless us. Jesus. Dear brothers, verse 1, James 3, verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, I love it. Talking to everybody. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Okay, James 3 and 1. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Oh, God. Everybody want to preach. Are you sure? Everybody want to teach. I mean, you're going to be judged anyway, but like, I don't know that, you know, we don't want to add to it, Lord. And let me tell you, can I just be transparent? Do you know what the hardest thing of being a pastor is? The hardest part. The hardest part is not saying what I feel. All right, sit there. I'm by myself. That's all right. That is the hardest part, that I can't get up and do. Y'all remember Pastor Jim from YouTube? Okay, when you get a chance, just look up Pastor Jim goes off on the congregation. Pastor Jim is the personification of this message and what I'm trying to say. And Pastor Jim was apparently having a bad Sunday, and he decided to just tell folks exactly what he thought about them. He looked at one brother and he said, "So I suppose you want me to marry you, huh? Why would I marry you? You ain't worth 5 cents in this church." You are the worst member I have. And he just made his little rounds, telling the saints exactly how he felt about him. And then he told them, "And if you don't like it, I'll pack it up, go 12 miles down the road, me and my honey, and we'll serve God and pastor another church where they'll worship God with." I mean, like, you're going to be moving 12 miles frequently if that's how you move. But the reality is, you feel like that sometimes. You feel like telling a person, "No, we ain't helping you. You ain't gave in 10 years you've been at this church. No, we ain't helping you." Sometimes you feel like you know that somebody has run you down and talked about you. You know they have a spirit of rebellion and they're not for you. "Oh, pastor, I just love you." You's a lie. You don't love me. You's a lie and the truth ain't. But you can't say that, because you got to demonstrate the highest level of integrity at all times. Because you could say something that would cause them not to get delivered from that spirit. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. That's why I'm not quick to tell people what God ain't saying to them when they bring me something. I'm not quick to tell you, "You ain't hearing God." I might know they ain't hearing God, but guess what? You got to hold your peace and you got to let God do the work in people. That's the hardest thing about pastoring, is you don't get to stand up here and just say what you want and say how you feel and say what you think. You have got to exercise some control, because you're going to be judged more strictly. And you can't just get up here and give your opinion. You got to get a word of God, and you got to rightly divide it. Because many people have preached the word of God and preached solely what they thought and have led people astray. And each one of those people will have to give an account for that. That's why, as I've grown in my ministry and I've had to come back and fix some things, you got to repent, because you held accountable. Be like, "I taught this wrong, and now I know it's right." The right way that this passage should be looked at. So anyway, that's just when I see that scripture, and when I think of how everybody wants to be up here, do you really want to be up here? Because if you don't have control of your mouth there, you ain't ready to be up here. If you can't control your mouth out there, you ain't ready to get up. Come on, somebody. If you can't control your mouth on the phone, you ain't ready to get up. Verse 2. "Indeed, we all make mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect, and could also control ourselves in every other way. Listen at that. If you can, in other words, he's saying, if you could, you make mistakes, but if you could control your mouth, you would be perfect, and you can control yourself in every other way. That's why fasting is such a good practice. Because fasting isn't just a control of your food, it's a control of your mouth. I could keep my mouth shut and keep the pork chop out of it. Come on, somebody. If you can control your mouth, you can control every area of your life. That's powerful right there. So that just goes to show us how powerful this little member is. Verse 3, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. Now, y'all see how big horses are? Those big old horses that could kick your face off if they wanted to. If you get them mad, get behind them the wrong way, they could kick your face off. All you have to do is put a bit in their mouth and they turn any way you tell them to. Put a bit in a harness. That's how we control those big old animals, by their mouth. Verse 4, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. Listen, that little rudder is able to turn a massive ship, not just in calm waters, but in stormy waters. That little thing can control that big thing even when the situation is not conducive. I hope y'all hear what I'm saying. In the same way, verse 5, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Okay? Give you an example. All a person has to do is make a suggestion. You've seen it over and over and over again where suggestions have gone viral about people. You've seen it over and over again where just a sentence uttered from the wrong person sets off a firestorm of speculation and criticism and accusation. It's a tiny spark. That little thing in your mouth, the little thing that's in your mouth right now, can tear your whole house up. That little thing that's in your mouth can tear the whole church up. You see why this goes with unity? You see why this connects with faith? Because this thing right here is making kingdoms and destroying them. Verse 6, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. Jesus. It can set your life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Now, verse 7 says, now people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Do you know why we're not more careful with the things that we say? Because we think we're the exception to that. Do you know you can turn a whole person's perception about another person with your tongue? Do you know they don't have to see what you see? Come on, somebody. They don't have to see, have seen it. They don't have to feel how you feel about the person. But one little sentence will make you make a person change their whole perception about another person. People come into the church. We've got a couple people that have joined the church. Brother Patrick, Sister Sandra, amen. For those of you that wasn't here, amen. They've joined the family. And new people come in. Like, oh, I love my church. It's so great. It's so wonderful. It's all right. You just got here. Come on, somebody. Come on. Watch out for Sister Such and So. Come on. Come on. Setting fires. Setting fires. They don't see nothing because they ain't looking to see nothing. They just trying to receive and serve. But our tongues. Jesus. You quick to share your opinion. But how many of you know most of our opinions are not godly? And most of our opinions don't build up anything. Think about it. Think about how you think. Because most of us can't even think the best of anything. Most of us look for reasons to be out of agreement. We look for reasons. We look, come on somebody. Most people's opinions are not positive. Most people's opinions are not building. Most people's opinions are critical. And the church is trying to move a particular direction, and it only takes one person. Well, I don't know. What do they need $15,000 for? I mean, here they go asking for money again. Y'all quiet. Lord, I didn't think that was going on, but maybe it is. I'm just preaching. I mean, I like the worship, but come on, somebody. We don't realize that a tongue untamed by the Spirit of God is dangerous. Most of us end up in sin situations because of our mouth. Have you ever had a friend and really that's all you saw him as? It's just a friend. Oh, that's my friend. I love him. They're my friend. My friend, friend. My friend, my friend is what I like to be. And you're talking to that friend, and then that friend just drops a little something in the conversation. They don't even have to come out and outright say it, but they just, you can just turn the whole nature of the relationship just with a word. Now I see you different. Now feelings I didn't have, suddenly I have these feelings for you that aren't, I mean, I know we're friends, but I mean, did you hear what they said? And I'm just trying to tell you the power of the tongue. Like, words are not harmless. Hello, words are not harmless. What comes out of your mouth is not harmless. And this is something God is trying to get his finger on so that we can align up with him and say what he says. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but I want to get to the place in my life and my walk where if God ain't saying it, I'm shutting up. Come on. If it don't line up with God's word, I ain't got nothing to say. If God didn't tell me to say nothing, I ain't got no opinion. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I'm trying to build the kingdom. I'm not trying to tear the kingdom down. I'm trying to build the church. I'm not trying to tear the church down. I don't care how mad I get. There are some things I will never say to this woman. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Because I understand that I can say something to her today that I don't even mean that she will carry for years. And now I ain't mad no more. And now I'm over it. And now I done moved on. And now I feel better. But she is stuck with the weight of my words. And where there was security, now there is insecurity. And now where there was no doubt, now there's a question mark that hangs. And it was my mouth that did it. I'm trying to help us. I'm trying to help us in here. I'm trying to help us to understand how important this little thing is and allowing the Holy Spirit to sit on you. My God, this is why we need self-control. We need self-control because a lot of us think sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But words are creative. Words have power. Words can build up one and tear down another. And it don't even have to be true. It don't even have to be true. And listen, let me help you. Because it's your opinion, doesn't make it true. And because it's how you feel, doesn't make it true. And we've got to learn how to if I ain't got nothing good to say, I ain't going to say nothing at all. Do you know how much gossip will stop in the house of God? Do you know how much backbiting and backstabbing that will stop if somebody just says, shh. No, we can't have this conversation. I can't allow you to set a fire in my spirit that I ain't even there. I don't care how you think and feel. You got a problem with them, go to them. Go to them. Don't come to me. Go to them. You got a problem with the pastor? Go to the pastor. Don't spread it around the church. Your tongue is tearing the unity of the house apart.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, nobody wants to follow. And nobody wants to submit. And now you've got allies, but you are fighting against the will of God, not against the will of man. It's poisonous. It's poisonous. That's why it's got to be controlled, because it's poisonous. It's deadly. That's why you got to put a bridle on it. It's deadly. That's why you got to learn how to just walk away and sit on it and pray it out if you have to and cry it out if you have to. But don't just let your mouth write checks. That's right. That your soul can't cash. Come on, somebody. This is grown folk talk today. This is grown folk talk. This is not for baby Christians. Because baby Christians gonna do what baby Christians do. Baby Christians gonna poo-poo on themselves. And some of us think we're mature, but our mouth says different. Some of us think that we're grown up in Christ, but our mouth lets a different message be told. Because we're not mature by the prophecy. We're not mature because we can sing. We're not mature because we can quote a few scriptures. We're not mature because we can lay hands on people and watch them recover. We're mature because we can control the most unruly thing our body has to offer. Listen, this is across the board. This is for all of us. The tongue is restless, it's evil, it's full of deadly poison. Verse 9 says, sometimes it praises our Father, our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. Listen to that. Sometimes this very tongue will praise God and then curse the very people he made. Jesus. Verse 10. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Now, the writer here is just telling it like it is, right? But then he just clears it up. Because, you know, we get to identify, yeah, that's right. That's exactly how I do. That's exactly where I am, man of God. Oh, yeah, you telling it. Yeah, we all human. We all got that problem. I mean, well, you know. And he says, just let me be clear. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. None of this is an endorsement for living this way. None of this is an endorsement for how we should be. Come on, somebody. Verse 11 says, does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives? Or a grape produce figs? Grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. So what this suggests is there has to be a sanctifying of our mouths. There has to be a surrendering of our right to say, see, this world got us messed up because social media have everybody thinking that they have a right to say whatever they think and feel. But it is not to be so in the household of faith. We are not to get out here and pile on with the world, just giving our opinions and not giving the word. Out here just talking about how we feel. That's not adding anything to the conversation. That's not causing any type of solutions to come forth. That's not pointing anywhere or anyone to Christ. But we just out here getting it off our chest. Prayer is the place you get it off your chest. Y'all don't hear me. I said prayer is the place you get it off your chest. Social media is not where you voice your problems with your marriage. That's not the place you voice your problems with your church. That's not the place you voice your problems with family members and loved ones. That's not the place where you voice your problems with the country. Come on, somebody. If we're not giving them the word of God, we're not helping. And we should be quiet. Come on, touch somebody and tell them, shh. Time to be quiet. It's time to be quiet. It's time to be slow to speak. Oh, God, come on. Quick to hear. Oh, I'm going to say it again. Slow to speak. You would be in less arguments if you would be quiet. I said you would reduce the amount of arguments that happen in your life with the people in your life if you would just look. You can't argue with silence. You can't argue with silence. You can't argue with a closed mouth. I can't give you ammunition if I shut up. Come on. I give them all the ammunition they need from just engaging in the conversation. If you on ignorant street, you're going to be on that street by your lonesome because I'm not coming. So then now you can accuse me of what I said because I let myself get caught up in your emotions. We got to learn how to be quiet. How to have control. How to invite the Holy Spirit in. How to say, Lord, sit on my emotions. Set a guard at my mouth. Set a guard at my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. That's what I got today. I don't know who it's for, but if you're mad, it's probably for you. No, I'm serious. I'm way past shouting, meaning the word was for you. Amen. Like, woo! Now, I'm the preacher thinking, oh, they got it. Mm-mm. I've learned that when I make you mad, That means I hit the target. Come on, somebody. That's the target that needs to be hit. How many of you are ready to grow? Like, really? Like, this is growing stuff. This is growing stuff. This is not bucking, hucking, shouting, my house, my car, my husband, my business. Like, we get that sometimes. None of that grows you. This message will help you keep your husband when he comes. This message will help you keep your business intact. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. This message will help you teach your children how to conduct themselves when the teacher says something they don't like and they think they have a right to say. They don't shut up because you don't shut up. How you going to smack them in the mouth for popping off at the teacher and your mouth is unruly? You disrespect their father. You disrespect their mother. Y'all don't. Well, he ain't here. So what? You're still teaching your child disrespect and you're building in them a disdain for men. Oh, God, help me. All right. All right. Lord, they want me to quit. I'm going to quit. Y'all stand up.